when the tape ended, you were talking about the coming to campus and the administrative.
Well, it was in the late 60s and early 70s that this rather ambitious land acquisition program went on. So here we were with an expanded land base in affiliation with the College of Natural Science. And while I had some farming experiences in my background, it was clear that if we were going to use that total resource, we had to have a closer alignment with the College of Ag and Natural Resources. And I think it was in 76 or 77, there was a group I put together, including representatives from the two colleges, departmental chairs mostly, and laid out the situation that existed, and they came forward with some specific recommendations that Jack Kinsinger implemented in 77. I've got some of the records here. And that set up an associate dean level position. Jay Cofer assumed that spot. And so there were some budgetary allocations for that. And my title changed. I forgot what it was. It was no longer just director. It was director of program development or something like that. And so that's, I don't know if that record is in your files or not.
It may not be.
I found a number of things that probably weren't, and that's my knowledge. Anyhow, so that changed things, and there was an influx of people, particularly from using the land resources there from the various departments, particularly crop and soil sciences, you know, because the need for a land base. And I think the land availability up here was for some of their activities, and I'm not sure how they establish priorities within the department, but a number of people were down working down there, fortunately.
What was the relationship in the community around Gull Lake and Hickory Corners? How did they view this? You mentioned this aggressive land acquisition program. Was there opposition, support?
I guess I never really discerned that. This heralded what has continued to continued to happen during the last few decades, because you know, a farmer doesn't necessarily put so many dollars away for retirement. Some do, some don't. You know, if they pay off the farm, that's their retirement nest egg. Mm-hmm. And if the youngsters aren't willing to assume the responsibility, and a lot of them don't, so it goes on the market. And that was a situation with some of these. I never heard anything negative about it. The university runs a pretty good show, so it's and more recently, I think they're delighted to have the open space rather than things cropping up all over the place. You know, they're selling off road frontages. That was the other way they would gain some livelihood. Mm-hmm. From their land resource, they'd sell off a lot or here and there, you know, whatever they needed some money.
And did you live in the area?
Yeah, I think that was important. I didn't have as much contact with the community that I might have, you know, had a family and been involved in school systems, the school mm-hmm. system like that. But I did have a very good rapport with people in the lake community. And that can be looked at as a both a plus and a minus of a lot of people and around the lake were fairly affluent. But beyond the lake, they looked at they considered that the residential group there to be a little elitist, and maybe they were. I mean, you have the Parfits and the Sheriffs and some of those, you know, the Upjohn money out there, and a number of other wealthy people. So, but we did, I think, really lack an outreach or extension program, and that's one of the things that I was able to implement in the 80s with the Kellogg Foundation grant. It was primarily a facilities grant, but it was also a program development area, and we established the with grant money initially and some Crawford Extension money, a small core group that has continued down there since and has had a substantial impact in the community, and then the awareness of the resources of the station as that applies to public education. And I think we've expanded K-12 visitation and programs at the sanctuary and also at the biostation directly, working with the research faculty. So that's all growth. And I've forgotten when it was that might have been something Glenn Simons, administrative degree in terms of all faculty having an extension role, you know, not just an appointment with cooperative extension, but there was a service contribution expected mm-hmm. for an academic appointment.
Mm-hmm. Importance of outreach.
Yeah.
What's your impression of the facility today?
Well, it's top notch. I never thought it would evolve the way it has, and it's been very good. When I was had overall responsibility, it was for the whole ball of wax, the farm and the sanctuary, physical plant and grounds maintenance, and hard budget times. I can remember a couple of summers we didn't cut the grass.
Bring on the sheep.
Well, it was political pressure in part. And it was after I left, and Pat Weber, who succeeded me, left after 3 years. And I think primarily because he came from the University of Colorado and wasn't used to a dual administration by two colleges or understanding of College of Ag and Natural Resources. After his departure, the physical plant and grounds maintenance was transferred over to Jerry Haar's outfit.
Land management.
Land management. Mm-hmm. And that was a boom because a great help, because that removed that operation from an academic bias, which I must admit I had, because I much preferred to support the research and graduate training program at the station, you know, and you can let maintenance slip a bit, but it's certainly much improved, and Jerry Haar, rightly so, had a very great awareness of the impact of the physical setting, physical appearance, and community relations.
Did you have contact with Dr. Morby?
Oh yes, yeah. He's a neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Oh well.
Yeah,
and he strongly supported the
yes,
station.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he he would have liked to, he supported the station, thought the university should also support the station perhaps to a higher degree than it did. And I think through some of the negotiations on the grant activities, that probably happened.
When did you ultimately retire?
I think the paycheck stopped at 91.
That's retirement. Yeah.
Actually, in many ways, I don't feel that I've retired. I still have a mailbox over there, and my journalists go to the library, there have been very limited change in faculty since I left. Three hires, I guess, and I was still involved in one of them because I think he came on as a postdoc and then was that's Phil Robertson, and I was involved in the interview and selection process on the other two, so I've continued to have that involvement.
Did you have any staff members, longtime staff members that? You want to make sure that you get recognized that you worked with?
Well, Roswell Van Dusen at the Bird Sanctuary. I don't know in detail. I know Miles Perney. I just ran onto some old records, a sheet that. Perney was the second appointment. Kellogg was out in California, and not in good health, but had the procedures for establishing the sanctuary were underway then. And I think that Jack Miner, whose waterfowl activities in Ontario were the basis of Kellogg's interest, hired the first individual. And then Perney was hired because Perney was a waterfowl specialist. And I don't know what the person there in the late 20s, his background was. And I don't know the motivation for Perney coming up to campus. It could have been family needs in terms of schooling and the like, because it was still a rural environment back there. When he assumed responsibility, which was back in the 30s, and then Van came on, I've forgotten the date, I wasn't involved in that hire, but yeah. Van's getting up in age.
Van Dusen?
Yeah, uh-huh. And we call him Van. He's well-respected in the community and in his field of waterfall management. So. And Bill Gunn was in feed research, but he's recently, that was a Kellogg grant activity with the Kellogg company grant. Mm-hmm. They were using cereal byproducts, and they had both a dog food and a mink food, and they had a mink farm there and a dog kennel was used for nutritional research. And I think with competition from I'm having lots of senior moments here. Excuse me.
They happen to everybody.
Yeah.
I think you just get more aware of them.
Yeah,
the older
yeah.
You get.
Well, it's a animal food place down in St. Louis, I guess. Anyhow, they got out of the dog food business, and they continued in the mink food business, but as a protein source, they were buying scrap fish out of the Great Lakes. And so that was before they were aware of pesticide contamination in the fish flesh. And of course, the mink were losing their hair, aborting their young, and all those sorts of things. So they, I think they got out of that because of concern and lawsuits. But when I came, that was the dominant operation that at the station, that contract research with the Kellogg Company.
In looking back at your career at Michigan State in particular, is there anything that you see as maybe most important?
Well, in terms of maintaining a viable program there, it's active and open liaison. And I think the station has to go more than halfway, you know, to make that realized. And I think it's important in terms of younger faculty coming aboard here in an appropriate department of essentially recruiting them to use the facilities down there.
Michigan State's had this issue of, you mentioned the East Campus and the potential West Campus, mm-hmm. and now with the moving of the medical school.
Oh, that's right.
Potentially
yeah.
to Grand Rapids.
Potential move, yeah.
To West Michigan. You know, and that's obviously administratively something that you had to deal with, that you sometimes struggle with.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but do you see that as the role of MSU as having these satellite academic institutions? Has that been an important part of?
Oh, I think it is. I think we laid the background there with the development of an extension unit and beginning of an outreach. And I was involved in what did we call it? We recruited top-notch. It was a special program. We got Kellogg Foundation monies for it for a summer program where we would bring in bright seniors from, I guess it was at the end of their junior year, maybe. And we developed a two-week resident program for them. And we hired teaching assistants, usually graduate students who were in resident at KBS during the degree work research, and then they'd interact with the and the programs that evolved. They'd interact with the research faculty as well. So it really was an introduction to field natural history, you know, with research overtones. So.
Well, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the project and appreciate the time and especially your insights.
Fine.
Thank you very much.
Okay.